It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Despite being seen as a vulnerable swing state, incumbent Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson has embraced controversy in his bid for re-election this year. And with the help of millions of dollars from Republican donors and groups, he's also relentlessly attacked Democratic challenger Mandela Barnes. As Rich Kramer reports, there are signs the approach may be working.
There are different ways to run campaigns in a 50-50 state like Wisconsin. There's the cautious approach, and then there's the one being taken by Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. During a recent gathering of a couple hundred Republicans at a Racine County Fairgrounds pavilion, Johnson delivers what sounds momentarily like a typical swing state speech. He calls for unity, and he says Republicans want to heal the nation.
Aren't you getting tired of the division and the anger?
But Johnson quickly pivots. He accuses Democrats of purposely driving up the cost of gas to force people into electric vehicles. He blames Democrats for inflation, saying it amounts to stealing people's savings. And he says progressives, like Democratic challenger Mandela Barnes, want to change the country because they don't like it.
This fundamental transformation of America is fundamentally destroying this country. We got to save it. These people have to be stopped.
The crowd at this rally feeds off of Johnson's remarks. Rich Strom, a Republican living near Burlington, says he likes that Johnson stands up for what he believes.
He's not your ordinary politician. He's a successful businessman, and he doesn't give the politically correct answers all the time. He does state things the way they are.
The list of Johnson's controversial statements is long. In just the past couple years, he has frustrated public health officials when he repeatedly questioned the safety of the COVID-19 vaccine. Republican Mary Lacomey of Union Grove says she agrees with Johnson.
He's been behind the COVID stuff. I think he's really gotten behind the people that have been, say, vaccine injured or worse.
Johnson has also downplayed the violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. And recently, text messages came to light showing Johnson's office tried to deliver slates of fake electors to former Vice President Mike Pence the day of January 6th. Former Democratic State Senate Majority Leader Chuck Koala says Johnson's involvement in the fake election scheme shows he's an enabler of Republicans pushing for autocracy.
He is not the one strategizing to make it happen, but he will help them make it happen. And that is a terrible danger for our democracy.
Johnson's controversial approach has worn thin with some Wisconsin voters based on years of polling by the Marquette University Law School. In recent years, a growing number of voters have held a negative view of Johnson. But Scott Jensen, a Republican lobbyist and former Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, says favorability ratings aren't the only thing that win elections.
Ron Johnson may not be able to improve his numbers, but he can dramatically reduce Mandela Barnes' numbers.
A Marquette poll in August showed Barnes leading Johnson by 7 percentage points among likely voters. But after Republicans spent tens of millions of dollars attacking Barnes for being soft on crime, that lead disappeared.
I think some of the early post-primary polling was too friendly to Barnes.
That's Jessica Taylor, the Senate and Governor's editor for the Cook Political Report.
Sources I talked to and my own analysis was that this was never going to be a 7-point race or something. Wisconsin is just too close for that, that this is going to be a 51-49, 52-48 race.
Several recent polls have showed Johnson leading Barnes, though the race remains tight. Taylor says the attacks on Barnes have been so successful that even if people dislike Johnson, there will be some who vote for him anyway. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And Wisconsin Public Radio will have a story tomorrow about Senator Johnson's Democratic challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Now it is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We hear from an independent state agency that is federally charged with serving as a resource to all branches of state government on disability issues. We look at policy priorities, the budget request, pressing issues before the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, and how this board is giving voice to this community statewide. Join in with questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. Beth Swedeen is Executive Director of the State Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. Beth, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So, Beth, explain in your words, what is the role of your agency?
Sure. There's a border council like this in every state and territory in the country, and it is a part of the Developmental Disabilities Act that's about 50 years old now. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Yes.
And our board is made up, thank you, our board is made up of people living with developmental disability and their family members, as well as some reps from state agencies. The folks living with disability with lived experience are appointed by the governor. They are really charged with looking at the pressing issues facing the disability community in Wisconsin, and then advocating for change, as well as coming up with innovative solutions.
How did you make your way to this board?
I made my way like a lot of folks with lived experience. I have a daughter who's now an adult with a developmental disability.
And over the past half century of this board, what has dramatically improved for the disability community, and what has stayed the same or even worsened?
Sure. So many things have changed in the last 50 years. When you think of, the 1960s and 70s, the majority of people with developmental disabilities across the country were still living in state institutions. So they were kind of out of sight, out of mind. We didn't have the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. So many children with disabilities were not participating in their public schools. And there were long wait lists for services. Even programs like Birth to Three, which are early intervention programs, were just in their infancy, and a lot of them were started by families in church basements. So fast forward now to children living and participating in their public schools, recognition of the importance of early intervention and early diagnosis to have people maximize their lives. And then, just a really strong self-determination and self-advocacy movement where people with disabilities are speaking their truth. They're leaders in their communities. They are participating in work and in community life and are talking about their experiences and helping shape policy by being at the table.
Let's look at one of the barriers, which is caregiving. And you co-chair the Survival Coalition of Wisconsin Disability Organizations. The coalition released a survey of nearly 500 caregivers recently. What are the major findings?
Mm-hmm. So as you may know, we have pretty extensive programs in the state funded by Medicaid. They're called long-term care programs. And they we are one of the few states in the country that have ended our wait lists. But the new emerging issue that has really stymied pretty much every part of the country is the lack of caregivers, of people who are available and willing to work in these jobs to support folks in their homes and communities. So our survey looked at the folks who are bearing, the lion's share of the challenge on that, and that's family caregivers. Because every time you can't hire or retain a care worker, that care need does not go away. And so families are stepping in, oftentimes extended families stepping in, and they're doing those supports to make sure that their loved ones are safe and healthy. So it's a huge issue. I think COVID has only exacerbated it because as we've seen, the labor pool shrink and wages go up in other fields. This is a field where wages are stagnant, that I think the average care worker across the country is making under $13 an hour at a time that Target and Culver's are hiring folks at $16 and $17 an hour. So it's a huge issue. And in states like Wisconsin, that have increasingly aging populations, we have more and more need for caregivers every year, and then a smaller labor pool at the same time of folks in that younger age range who are able to provide those supports.
Something that stuck out on the survey, families providing 80% of care for children and adults with disabilities and older adults. That right there, the family itself is a major workforce, if you will, which can have huge financial implications on that particular family. Can you explain what could go on there?
Sure, because we did ask questions to that point about how is this impacting, you as a as a worker and as a person, as well as your family. This is an issue that's reaching into every single community in Wisconsin, and not just impacting the individual family, but also the economy of every area, every county, every community. We saw, found and quantified in our survey that two-thirds of caregivers have said they either had to reduce their hours of work or have left the workforce entirely. So as you mentioned, that means obviously less purchasing power and less financial stability for that family unit. But it also means, you know, fewer people in the workforce at a time when Wisconsin's unemployment rate is very, very low and employers are begging for skilled workers. And these are usually skilled workers. These are folks, you know, who are well into their careers. They're oftentimes capable of leadership roles in their careers. And they're saying, sorry, I have to work, you know, a part-time job, or I can only work virtually, or I have to find something that fits the few hours a day I can work. And so the impact, and it's creeping up every year more extensively, the impact on the community is not just on that family unit, but on the entire economic, you know, vitality of every community in Wisconsin.
Let me ask you this, because there's been this pipeline program in recent years to train up certified nursing assistants, CNAs. Mm-hmm. And since 2018, the WIS Caregiver Careers Program has trained thousands of CNAs in our state. Do you feel there needs to be a standalone caregiver program to address the needs that you're seeing?
Oh, that's such a great question. And actually, our Department of Health Services is actually developing that program with ARPA funds right now. And I do think, and we all agree, it's one of the critical pieces to the puzzle to attract people, to help them understand that this is a really rewarding career. But unfortunately, the pay and the opportunities after that entry level are just not meeting the standard of what you and I would consider a profession. So there's really a lot of work to be done around just basic wages and rate reform in long-term care programs, as well as some of the other things you're talking about as far as recruitment and training.
So you're saying that the Federal American Rescue Plan Act funding is helping to put together this type of pipeline program, because, you know, the current state budget includes an additional $100 million for caregivers.
Right. That is correct. The state of Wisconsin has chosen, through the Department of Health Services leadership, has chosen to invest quite a bit of that funding in training and equipping caregivers.
Beth Swedeen with us leads the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. It's an independent agency seeking ways to improve the lives of people with developmental disabilities. Has an eye on all systems of state government. Join in on advocacy work. Join in on programs that improve the lives of adults and children with developmental disabilities. Challenges you encounter as a family and the breakthroughs. 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. Executive Director Beth Swedeen is here. This independent agency is marking 50 years, as we talked about, advocating on behalf of Wisconsin's disability community. Federal law established in state statute in 1972. Their conference, called Self-Determination, is set for next week. Join in on the programs, the services, advocacy work, 800-642-1234. And Beth Swedeen stays with us. Let's take a call now. Mary is with us from New London. Mary, hi, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My concern has been just finding paid support staff for our adult son who has an intellectual disability. Noah's 25 years old. He lives with us currently. And even if we were able to find some independent housing for him, we wouldn't be able to help him move in because he needs care. He needs somebody to be with him 24/7. And right now, we consider ourselves lucky if we can find somebody for about 30 hours a week. Our current son's current caregiver can't work too many hours because then she risks losing medical benefits for her children. Mm. We signed our son up for a camp session, hoping that we could have a couple weeks of respite care, my husband and I, this summer. And the camp got canceled after 24 hours because of COVID. Mm. We've worked with an agency, and it's like a revolving door. Somebody comes in for a few days, and then they find another job. Because honestly, who can live these days and support a family on $14 an hour with no health benefits or paid time off?
Mary, thank you so much for bringing your personal situation. Beth, go ahead. What would you tell her?
Yeah, Mary is saying what we hear over and over throughout the state, and she's spot on around just how tightly controlled families' lives are, that they really cannot leave, go on a vacation, do the typical things. And then you're always on high alert, right? You're always right by your cell phone because something's going to break down. And I think she's pointing to some of the really important reforms that Wisconsin needs to think about, which is not just a rate reform in the hourly rates that workers are paid that really reflects the true cost of care, which is not $14 an hour or $12 an hour, it's much higher, but also the fact that so many caregivers don't have benefits. They don't have health insurance. They don't have paid time off. If a person gets sick, like Mary's son gets sick, the caregiver knows that they could be called tomorrow and told, sorry, don't come in for your 6-hour shift. And then they don't get paid for that shift. So we need to be thinking about building in health insurance, paid time off. She talks about, the limits. We have almost 50% of our caregivers, paid caregivers in the state, who are on public health insurance because their wages are so low and they're trying to support families. So we are supportive of income disregards that could disregard a certain percentage of a caregiver's income so that they could still qualify for health insurance benefits, public health insurance benefits. So she's speaking to some of the really important reforms that we need if we're really going to get a handle on this problem. Otherwise, we're going to see more and more people doing what Mary's doing, which is keeping their adult children at home. So those adults are not getting the full life that they really want to have. And then as, aging caregivers become more incapacitated, what's going to happen then? There will not be anyone to step in.
Where should Mary turn to next? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I mean, you can call the typical places in your county, but I know that Mary and other families know what they're going to hear. So because you can get a worker through the 35-page application process and all signed up, and then, Target offers another $2 an hour and your worker's gone. So, or even a really committed worker, like that sounds like the one Mary has, she's got to think about raising her own children and what wages will actually pay for her to be able to support her family. So, I think we have to turn to, and this is the State Capitol Report, we have to turn to our legislature and our state and our governor and say, it's time to invest in true rate reform. It's time to quit nibbling around the edges on this issue and to get very serious about supporting caregiving at the rates that it deserves. And just to give you a number, in our state, private pay right now for under 3 hours at a time is $50 an hour. Mm. And the most that the state can pay through Medicaid, which is set by the state, is $21.84 an hour. Now, that never goes straight to the worker. That goes to the agency that employs the worker, and the agency has to take off their cut. And that's why you're seeing wages at typically $12 to $15 an hour for that worker.
Beth Swedeen with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. You can join in 800-642-1234. Beth, your board also provides training that includes informing caregivers and people needing care about their legal and civil rights. Can you explain a little bit about the training work?
Sure. We do a lot of work to really empower people with developmental disabilities and help them make informed decisions with appropriate supports, as well as speaking out and speaking up for themselves. We have a federal grant right now called Living Well that really focuses on individual rights and helping people understand their rights. You may know that people with developmental disabilities are at 7 times the national average for abuse and neglect. So we are very concerned about vulnerabilities, and especially when folks don't know what their rights are. And what we're finding is that with support and training and education on who to go to for support, that makes a huge difference in people's standing up and talking about things that are happening that may not be okay for them. So we do a lot of work with that. And as you referenced with our self-determination conference, we're expecting probably almost 900 people between virtual and in-person next week at the Dells, Kalahari, talking about self-determination. So, you know, working where you want to work, living where you want to live, speaking up, voting rights. We do a lot of work in the voting area as well. So just everything around, and what we find is with opportunity and with informed information and the right supports, people, even people with the most significant developmental disabilities, can really change the course on their life and be much more independent and much more safe.
Beth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This was a wonderful opportunity, and I really appreciate it. Family caregiving is a top issue in our state, and I appreciate you shining a light on it.
Sure. Beth Swedeen, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.